Welcome to Ultimate Sports Parent Radio, where we help parents and coaches instill confidence and ensure success in young athletes.
This is Lisa Cohn. Today I'm here with my brother, mental game expert Dr. Patrick Cohn, and special guest Mike, a sports dad who wants to help his talented son deal with pressure from coaches and peers. Hi, Patrick. Hi, Mike.
Oh, hello, Lisa.
Now, Mike, can you tell us a little bit about your son, how old he is, and what sports he plays?
He's an 11-year-old, and he's a young 11-year-old relative to the rest of the kids in his class. He's kind of a late spring birthday. He very much enjoys baseball and basketball and plays soccer recreationally.
And now it sounds like the thing that you're having trouble with is baseball, where the coach tends to criticize him for making mistakes, correct?
Yes, that's correct.
And can you describe what it's like?
Well, sure. You know, it's one of those things you always second-guess yourself as a parent. You say, well, you know, and I've coached before, so you always ask yourself, is this the whiny parent thing happening or not? But, you know, if after you do a little analysis and you think about it and you say, gee, you know, he seems to be getting singled out, and maybe ask another person or two, and you kind of get some concurrence on that. And, you know, the thought that we had was, well, you know, the team was kind of a 500-type team, and he has some talent, although, you know, he still has room to improve and that sort of thing. And, you know, the thought was maybe the coach, you know, had a little higher expectation for him because he does have some talent. And it's one of those things that we've had other people comment, say, gee, you know, your son seems to really, you know, have a good arm, or he's a pretty good hitter, that kind of thing. So we've had some independent verification. We thought, well, maybe there's some expectation there that he should be a little bit better than everybody else. And,
now, isn't this a high-level or elite team?
Oh, yes, yes. His baseball and basketball participation has been on a traveling team and very competitive.
Mm-hmm.
Good competition. You know, he got to the point where he was ready to step into that, and he very much enjoys it.
Can you give us an example of what the coach does with your son?
Well, you know, one of the things that really started to bring it to note is, you know, he'd have a game and he'd probably do four or five things very well, and he would make a mistake. Call that the fifth or the sixth thing. And, you know, when the team would gather after the game, he would get singled out for that one thing. You know, the comment might be, well, you know, it's good to make great plays and it's good to do this and that, but, you know, you have to make that typical throw, you know. And so then he would comment on his particular play. And it certainly wasn't the only play in the course of the game that went that way. You know, it's 11 and 12-year-olds, and it's about what you might expect. As far as quality of play, there are certainly issues there for everybody. But at the same time, it seemed like, you know, his performance was the one that was being singled out.
And then, Mike, how does he react to some of the feedback that he gets? Does he get upset, frustrated? Does he have a tendency to lose confidence? What is his general reaction to some of the comments and the feedback that he's getting from the coach and teammates, et cetera?
Well, that's a great question, because from the coach, he tends to take that in stride. He's pretty good with authority figures that way. He seems to understand, okay, they're trying to make me better. These are things I need to improve in. And he'll be the first to admit, yeah, I got to get that throw down, kind of a thing. But as a corollary to that, when the other kids then hear that, they kind of pick up on that. Gee, this kid's, you know, getting it a little bit, and so then they'll get on him, you know, the next game, you know, there might be a comment about, hey, watch that throw, you know, those kinds of things. And that's where, you know, my wife and I began to see that maybe that was bothering him just a little bit, because he would mention that. He'd say, well, so-and-so said this or that. Don't know that it really affected his performance a whole heck of a lot, you know, thereafter, but you could tell because he mentioned it that it bothered him. And my concern was not to let it get to a crisis in confidence or get to a point where, you know, he didn't believe in what he could do and that he can improve and those kinds of things.
Now, are these your son's friends, the kids?
Yes, you know, it's one of those things with, you know, 12 kids on a team, some more close than others, but certainly all kids that he goes to school with.
So they're all friends? They're all
yeah, friends
and peers and friends?
Peers, definitely. Yeah.
Okay. Now, I'm curious about what you do when all this happens.
Well, you know, you do a little bit of a slow burn to start with, you know, and I've always subscribed, again, having done some coaching myself, to kind of the 24-hour rule. Just take a little time out and digest the comments and the like, and actually approach the coach about it. And, of course, you know, his comment was, gee, you know, I don't think so, and, well, maybe I did single him out and you know, need to back off on that a little bit. So approached it from that angle with limited success thereafter. You know, it's one of those things where in the short term maybe you see some improvement, in, but as time goes on, the old habits start to come back into play. With our son, you know, definitely discussed it with him and tried to put as much of a positive spin on it as we could to say, hey, you know, this is an opportunity to improve. In baseball in particular, the game of inches, look at it as a challenge. See it as something that, you know, you can use to make yourself better. You're definitely a good player. You know, look how your stats compared to everybody else. They think, you know, you can continue to get better, and that's a positive thing. And so, you know, tried to take something that maybe had a bit of a negative feel to it and turn it into something that maybe he could use to say, yeah, okay, I'm a good player, and I'll use this as motivation, even though I know, you know, we all tend to say that, you know, getting yelled at maybe isn't the best motivation, and everybody's motivated somewhat differently, but maybe trying to turn it into that sort of a you know, positive spin, I guess.
It sounds like that's a good idea. Patrick, do you have any other suggestions for ways that Mike could handle this?
I think I provided Mike with a couple of suggestions via email when he wrote in to us, and one of the things that I notice with my students and younger athletes is their confidence is often affected on the external, or what we call, you know, externally, things that are kind of beyond their control. Like maybe, you know, I don't like playing in the rain, or, you know, I don't like playing on a particular diamond, or this particular team affects my confidence. And in addition, the comments from the coach and the comments from teammates, friends or whatever can also affect an athlete's level of confidence. So I make sure I talk with that and make sure that they understand it's self-confidence, that confidence comes from within, and it should be based upon their practice and their abilities and what they do well. And really, it's based upon just, you know, working hard and past success. And so I try to get them away from having other people affect their confidence. But I think kids, by and large, you know, they listen to other kids, and I think sometimes they need to let it go in one ear and out the other, because they put so much weight on what other people say. And that goes back, Mike, to what we call in the field of sports psychology is this area of social approval. There's just some of my students that are just a lot more worried about what other people think. You know, one of my students called it, I spend so much time watching others watch me that, you know, it affects my performance. So they often care so much about what other people think, and those are the athletes that are affected the most by people's comments.
Well, it sounds like, I think for any kid, this would be a really hard situation. I have two ideas that I'm going to bounce off you, Patrick. What if Mike's son spoke to the coach?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I mean, sure, that's always an option. I think kids should feel like they have that option of going and talking to the coach. But, you know, as we talk about in our workbook, Lisa, there's probably a right and a wrong way to approach the coach and, you know, and not put the coach on the defense.
And in the way to do that, I would suggest maybe that Mike help his son talk to the coach, and Mike, you could teach him, you know, to say things like, it makes me feel bad when you, rather than, you're a horrible coach.
Mm-hmm.
It sounds like he doesn't even think he's a horrible coach, but he's just struggling a little. And the other option would be for Mike to help his son talk to the kids, or for Mike to talk to their parents.
Well, that is always an option, but, you know, ultimately it's, you know, for me, it comes down to having the right reaction. In other words, you can't control what the kids are going to do, what the other kids are going to do or going to say, you know. So to me, the best option in order to take control is to really work with your child on how they react to that. And it's certainly an option, I mean, to talk to the parents and the other kids. But to me, I would want him to kind of learn a life lesson or a life skill about, you know, I can't put so much emphasis and weight on what other people are telling me, and I need to really believe in myself from the inside and know that I'm a good player.
But I think for an 11-year-old, that's very hard. And I think maybe Mike could consider doing both. helping him, helping, you know, Mike, helping your son try to feel confident on the inside, and also helping control some of the externals that are making him feel less confident. What would it be like for you to either talk to the parents or help him?
Well, you know, I think it would be a good lesson in assertiveness,
right.
I think in particular with dealing with the other kids. It's interesting, you know, Patrick's suggestion is something that we've already discussed. Well, you know, we said, hey, you know, you're going to be out there, you know, sports is a metaphor for life for a lot of reasons. And I said, you're going to be on a job, and you know what? Your boss is going to come up to you sometime, and he's going to say you didn't do something right, and it really was not your fault, or maybe you did do it right, but you have to learn how to deal with those situations in life. And I said, this is a great example of something that you'll see in the future, and it's something I deal with and everybody else deals with. So we have talked at the, you know, on that intellectual level, and I have to agree, I'm not sure that entirely sinks in. But I think the other idea, Lisa, your idea, is a good one too, because that assertiveness might be good for him to talk to the other guys and say, hey, you know, what's the problem here? What about the 4-for-4? You know, I mean, there are a lot of other good things in the game. Let's focus on the positive guys and play as a team, and that would be a good lesson in assertiveness.
Right. I think, that is one of, there's so many social and emotional lessons to be learned in sports. But I think you'd have to do it in a way that, you know, was positive for everyone, that was good for the kids and good for the parents. I would guess that they see him as such a star that they don't think that their comments hurt him.
Yeah, that's quite possible.
The way you've described him, it sounds like he's really talented and he's on these high-level teams, and they may think that whatever they say isn't going to hurt him because he's you know, not vulnerable.
Mm-hmm.
Or, you know, you might have some kids that are maybe jealous of his talent and
yes.
feel like that, you know, they want to get an upper hand on him in some way. And they do that by trying to maybe even joke with him about, you know, some of the errors or some of the mistakes, thinking that they're maybe getting inside his head.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, at that level, when you're on traveling teams, you know, you got some of that stuff going on.
You certainly do. Jealousy is a tough one.
Yes, and some of the other players had some frustrations in some areas that he happened to excel in, so that might be a very possible cause and effect.
Yeah. I personally have 4 sports kids in our family from 9 to 18, and I would personally begin by trying to talk to the coach one more time, because I don't think the coach wants to lose your son.
Mm-hmm.
So you have a fair amount of influence there.
Right, right.
And I suspect that the other parents and kids don't really want to lose them either. And you sound like you'd be perfectly reasonable when you did speak with them.
Oh, sure, sure, yeah. I mean, I think the only way to deal with it in a practical, and you say, a way for everybody. You know, if to err is human, to coach is human too.
Right.
We've all made mistakes in that position before, and you have to appreciate that. So. Absolutely.
Now, he doesn't get this kind of feedback on the other two in the other two sports he plays?
No, as a matter of fact, coincidentally, just recently, his recreational soccer coach sent an email out to a couple of select teams and said, hey, you know, you ought to look at this kid to play select next year, you know, sort of a thing, even though he's been doing it just kind of for the fun of it. You know, his coach is saying, gee, you know, he really ought to go do some other things. So the feedback has been wonderful. Again, you know, from our perspective, you know, you tend to be biased as a parent, but it's fun to hear it from other people who know more than you do about specific sports or have a higher level of training in a particular sport. And so, yeah, he's received some pretty good feedback.
So in soccer, and then he also plays, what was it, basketball?
Basketball, yes.
Right. Well, I have heard that baseball is one of the toughest in terms of parents being competitive. That's just what I hear.
Well, you know, and it's interesting because we've kind of looked at that too, because your mind starts to say, well, you know, what other teams are available, what else might be an option if you can't resolve the issue with a coach, and frankly, you see quite a bit of that out there. Actually, for lack of a better term, a lot worse than what I'm seeing on this team in terms of coaches berating players on the field and just generally obnoxious, I would say, for a bunch of 11- and 12-year-olds. I mean, at some point, I think you have to have a little better perspective than that, but that's just me, I guess.
I think you could also talk with Mike about, you know, errors are a natural part of sport, and that I talk with my students a lot that you're human and you're going to make errors and you can't be perfect out there, and the best option is to, you know, maybe take some of the constructive you know, feedback or constructive criticism, as it's called, and use it as an opportunity to learn and to grow and to become better, rather than take the criticism or take the feedback from others negatively.
Absolutely. Yeah. No, I agree.
I think if I were in your position, if it were my kids, I would say you should take this as a compliment because they expect a lot from you.
Mm-hmm.
Now, where do you think you're going to go from here, Mike?
Well, you know, I have already shared this process with our son, you know, in confidence and said, well, you know, this pretty much everything we're talking about right now as far as, you know, how he might approach it. And I think we've covered a number of these bases. I think one that we have not would be to approach his teammates. And I think we could put together a game plan going into next year for when these things occur, you know, how to maintain your focus at the time, because, you know, if you're in the middle of a game, that's not the time to address it. But after that, you know, how one might be able to approach the issue. So I like that idea, and I think before the season starts, I would add to my list of to-dos to discuss with the coach one more time.
Sounds like a good plan. I hope it's been helpful.
Oh, absolutely. I think a lot of new ideas and confirmation of others, and so I appreciate your program, and definitely believe in the four squares, you know, for any person, mind, body, spirit, sociability, and, you know, the mental aspect of it is so crucial. It's no different than diet and rest and practice and everything else. So,
right.
Wonderful
well,
program you have.
Well, thanks so much for joining us.
Well, thank you.
Thank you.
Be sure to visit youthsportspsychology.com to get our new workbook CD program, The Ultimate Sports Parent. You can also pick up our free ebook, 10 Tips to Improve Confidence and Success in Young Athletes. That's youthsportspsychology.com.